Before we get into the episode, just wanted to give a heads up that some of the history of Lufkin pieces in the beginning are historically inaccurate. Apologize for that. So just disregard that in the beginning of the episode up until the Crown Colony piece comes up. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy it.
Hey, everyone. This is Trey, and welcome back to the next episode of the Stingers and Dingers podcast. Today, we will be doing a course review of the Crown Colony Country Club in Lufkin, Texas. For those of you who have heard of Lufkin, Texas, which I'm pretty sure most of you have not, it is probably because you have fished one of the best bass fishing lakes in the country, which is Lake Sam Rayburn, not too far from here. It is one of the towns that you have closest to it, to where you can go get fishing tackle and get, you know, or there's boat dealerships and all that other stuff, to where the proximity to the lake is perfect. For the other thing you might know Lufkin for was, if you're older and are from Texas, you might have heard of Lufkin Industries, which was the one of the largest lumber companies in the world, who used to operate out of here when they used to pull pine trees out and ship them and process them and everything. But that business died, I believe, in the 80s. So as that business died, which supplied jobs to the majority of the town, so did the town. The town seemed to kind of dissipate with it as well. Lufkin is a blue-collar town. Lumber is very blue-collar, same with most of the jobs here. It is very different than, going to a place like in Houston or one of the larger cities, where some of the jobs tend to be more white-collar. And, so the club users tend to be more white-collar. Crown Colony is no exception. Crown Colony sits within a more affluent area of Lufkin, but by no means would I call it a white collar area. There's still a lot of blue collar workers there that live there. And even people who, were blue collar and then retired and are now, living in some of the nicer homes in the area. Crown Colony Country Club itself sits within that subdivision and is a little more of a, an upper class look at country club living for a blue collar community. And I think that shows in the way that they treat everyone in the community itself. The club itself is by no means a 5-star resort, and I mean that in the best way possible. It has everything it needs to do well. It has everything it needs for anyone who is interested in golf, interested in tennis, pickleball, pools, etc., you name it. It has everything you could ever need there. It has a good restaurant. It has a pro shop for golf if you need that. It doesn't have any of the crazy frills, which I think is kind of refreshing, because some people think they need the incredibly nice Spanish designed pro shop and clubhouse, and you don't need that. I mean, this does the basics, and it does the basics well. That's the thing I really appreciated. And I walked into the clubhouse and everything felt a little more relaxed. I didn't feel like everything was super formal, which, it doesn't necessarily need to be for it to be enjoyable. And I really liked that about the club. I felt like I could go there and have dinner and, maybe not be super dressed up fancy and still enjoy myself. And even my cousins who I played golf with today, they had collar shirts on, but they didn't have necessarily golf shoes. They had, I guess almost like track style pants. And people were okay with that. And that was refreshing, right? Because these are kids that, wanted to get into golf and are trying, right? They're wearing the polo, but they're not wearing the nice slacks or anything like that. But they wanted to play, and they let them do that. And I think that goes a long way for me. So the vibe at the club was already pretty solid. The other nice thing about the club as well is they have a driving range that is, and a practice facility that is, well-stocked, in terms of they have really solid golf ball, Callaway practice balls, as well as they don't have any like pay stations for golf balls. Everything's already out there in those big Callaway, golf buckets. They also have a really nice putting green, as well as a, little chipping area and a bunker area to practice your game. For a place that has only, a city that only has one golf course in it, is really awesome, right? Because I think a lot of these cities that are smaller can typically have a course, but maybe it's just a golf course and no range, or it's just a range and no course. And, to have both of those, I think is so nice. And then getting to the course itself now, I think is something that I was incredibly surprised with. going into it, I didn't have a lot of expectations, mostly because, you know, it's not in an area that is necessarily known for its golf. It is a area where, you know, I was concerned, you know, a lot of the big name designers and architects cost a lot of money. And, you know, I wasn't sure that Lufkin was going to be able to afford that. But I was actually surprised to see that Robert von Haji, I can't pronounce his last name, was actually the designer of the course itself. So for those of you who aren't familiar with his work or can't remember his name, I'm just going to read off some of his highlighted courses in his book. Doral Blue Monster in Miami, TPC Woodlands in Texas, La Costa in California, one of the places that I played as well, the Golf National. I mean, just listing off all those courses is, you know, a lot of those have hosted majors. It's hosted the Skins game, hosted Ryder Cup. So they didn't skimp on golf architects, right? They didn't bring in someone who hadn't been known before. They brought in someone who knew what they were doing. And I think that shows up in the course really well. So the course itself is a 7,200, 72 par 72 course with a 74.2 rating, 144 slope. So when you hear 6,700 yards, or did I say 6,600? I think I meant 6,700 yards. When you hear 6,700 yards, you hear, okay, well, it's not that long of a course. You can just bomb driver and slap wedge around. But the thing you got to think about is we're in all of the pine trees in Texas. So that's not necessarily possible. You bomb driver and you get in the wrong spot, you're screwed. And that's where this course really showed its teeth. It's not a typical, you know, short track where every hole's the same. Because they brought Robert in, he was able to carve holes out of this landscape and make them challenging. So let me start off with the first four holes. I think the first four holes will really tell you what you're dealing with this course. So the first hole is a slight dogleg right par five, where you can just kind of hit driver up the middle. It's about 540 yards. And the second shot that you hit into this green is heading into an elevated green where there's kind of a big dip right in front of the green where if you hit this ball short of the green, you have to hit about 30 feet, probably 20 or 30 feet up onto the green. So hard third shot into that green. And the green's tiny. It's really not that big compared to, you know, some of the bigger greens you see, some of the Tom Fazio designs, for example. And it's an interesting par five because it's not complex, but it makes you think about your shot, because if you wanted to have a level shot into that green, you need to lay up shorter than you would normally like to, which I find really fascinating. Then you get into number two, which is another dogleg right. It's a par four. It's only 330 or 340. And you can't hit driver off the tee unless you can cut the corner or hit a really good fade. There's multiple doglegs lefts and rights on this course, so it makes you think about, okay, if I need to take on this corner, I need to hit a fade or draw. I need to hit it both ways, or you can lay up. So it gives you multiple options there. The third hole is another par five, where you end up hitting driver, and there's water all along the left side of this hole. You hit driver, and then you can go for the green, but it's 250 over water to a small green, where if you land short, you roll back into the water. And if you land over, you shortside yourself. So you end up, you know, having to either go for it and be confident or lay up short with a wedge, which the layup is actually, you know, probably 100, 120 yards away from the green, because the closer you get to the green, the slimmer the fairway gets. So you don't want to leave yourself too short of a shot, because you're either going to end up in the water or end up in the rough. And you don't want that for your wedge shot. The fourth hole is a 185-yard shot that is directly over water all the way there, where if you land short of the green, you know, just short of the pin, it will roll back into the water. You land long left, you're in a bunker. Land left, you're in a bunker. Land over, you're pretty much short-sighted yourself. And the course just shows its teeth in so many different ways. It makes you really think about where you have to leave your second shots, where you want to miss. And then on the green, even on the green where you want to miss as well, I could, you know, today, you know, as I speak to you, today's winter in Texas. So they overseeded and it's Bermuda. So it's dormant. So the green's a little sandy and a little, and they're still pretty slick though. And you know, there are a couple of times that I hit putts or I hit shots into holes where I had downhill putts where I wasn't going to stop it at the hole. I was going to have to go past, and it was going to have to go past probably 6 or 7 feet. So it makes you really have to, you know, place your way around this golf course, which is something that I really appreciate, especially since shorter courses, I think, can have a bad rap as like, oh, I'm just going to bomb driver, hit flip wedge. There's not a lot of holes today that I thought, okay, I'm just going to bomb driver up there and just hit like a little, you know, gap wedge in there. I had to really think about, okay, I need to focus on this tee shot. I can't miss here. I can't miss there. Okay, if I hit this fade and it goes straight in here, I'm fine. And, you know, that's something that most golf courses can't do at shorter length. You know, I've played courses that are longer that aren't as interesting as this course. I don't think I had a flat lie all day. Each course in the fairway and the rough is all built on slopes. There's a lot of holes where you're hitting onto an elevated green or hitting to a green below you. And in Texas, where the land's mostly flat, I think that's incredible. I think they did a great job finding a piece of land that they are able to kind of mold to what they wanted to. And the architecture is just fantastic, and I can't just stress that enough. I'm super happy with Robert's design. The grass itself is the typical Bermuda that you see in a lot of the courses in the South, so that it'll survive through the summer. Poena, at that heat, doesn't survive in the summer. And Bermuda will. And Bermuda is, there's two different types of Bermuda, one for the fairway and one for the green. And the collars, I think, are some other type of grass. I can't necessarily remember exactly what it is. But the greens, when I played them today, were overseeded. That's pretty normal. If you've played in the South, that's, you know, that's pretty normal. And then, you know, I think when summer comes around, I think the grass gets a little bit thicker. The course, I think, could use a little bit of renovation in terms of the bunkers. The bunkers were kind of inconsistent in terms of the, you know, depths of sand and the quality of the sand. And, you know, I think a club, like, eventually we'll have to make some adjustments there, but that's really my only complaint about the course in terms of the quality. I can't even stress how good the architecture was to where I'll let a lot of that slide. But overall, was super happy with my experience there. I thought everyone who we let play through, a couple people, were super nice. Seemed like everyone knew each other. I couldn't be happier with the round. If you guys are in East Texas, they do have a semi-private rate as well, where they will charge you, I think it's, I don't know, $100 for a round, which is a little expensive there, I do think. But at the same time, like, for the architecture and being able to see that sort of design, I think it's very much worth it. This has been my review of the Crown Colony Country Club. I hope you liked it. If you did, please leave me a review on iTunes. Helps me a lot. Check us out on all of your different social medias. I will post them in the show notes below. I will also post the website for Crown Colony in the show notes below. I hope you guys have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time. Peace.